Hello, I'm Sam Clement, and welcome to this special episode of the Picture House podcast. Today, I'm joined by writer-director Coralie Farger and actor Matilda Lutz to talk about their new film, Revenge, an 18-rated revenge thriller, which is really, really stunning, and I highly recommend seeing on a big screen. They were in town recently to attend a Q&A at Picture House Central, hosted by the Bird's Eye View Film Festival and their new Reclaim the Frame season. And whilst they were in town, I thought it was only right to ask if they'd like to do an interview for the podcast. Before then, I thought it'd be useful, because we don't talk about this in the interview, to give a quick top-line elevator pitch about the film. Matilda plays a character called Jen, who visits a luxury villa for a weekend of passion with her lover, Richard. He's a married man. It's all going swimmingly for the first night, but on the second day, his friends show up with lots of hunting gear, and it's quickly established things might not be what they seem. Jen is assaulted and left for dead, but she survives, and now she wants revenge. The film really is her journey as a character to get what she wants, and I thought it was done really, really well. I haven't quite seen anything like this from a female character's point of view. It's steeped in genre tradition. There's some really great Sam Raimi-inspired, I'm thinking about Sam Raimi's films like Evil Dead, his earlier work, lots of prosthetics, and yes, a lot of gore, but there's some really creative, like, practical special effects in there, as well as this amazing performance from Matilda Lutz, who really doesn't have a whole lot of lines because she's on her own for most of the film, but I just think she does so much physically, and really, you really get a sense of what this character is all about and how she grows throughout the film. This is Coralie's debut feature film. She's got a history of making short films which have toured the festival circuit, and this film had its world premiere at the Toronto Film Festival last year in the Midnight Madness slot, which is, as you may guess, the midnight screening program they run at Toronto, and it's famous for its very loud audiences, lots of whooping and cheering, and this film is the perfect film for that environment. And I'm glad now that it's finally coming out in the UK, and UK audiences can see it on a big screen. It's playing a number of Picture House cinemas, including Picture House Central, but it is a fairly limited release, so do check your local listings, and also check out the Bird's Eye View website to see whatever Reclaim the Frame events they're doing at Picture House and non-Picture House venues around the country. Right, that's all of the admin. The fire exits are on the left. Follow the lights on the floor in case of emergency. But without further ado, we'll go to Coralie and Matilda when they were in London to talk about the film Revenge.
Coralie, Matilda, it's so nice to talk to you today. I loved this film.
Thank you.
I saw it in the cinema, had a really great time. Like, it looks incredible on a big screen. It must be really fun taking the film around the world and premiering at different festivals. What's that experience been like?
The journey to festivals was really the best we could expect. We premiered in Toronto in September, then Fantastic Fest, Sundance, CIGES, and now the release all around the world. We were yesterday in New York. Before in LA, now in London, so it's just pretty cool.
So you've got some jet lag.
Yes.
What was going through your head when you were, you know, taking the film into Toronto, going on stage to introduce the movie? Excited, nervous?
So it was a very special moment, because for the moment we knew the film was selected, we knew it was a huge step. We knew something was happening, and definitely we could feel from the first screening there that the audience really reacted, and the press also really gave us good reviews. So after, you know, it was like the snowball effect where everything's going good, and we could feel that something happened in Toronto that launched everything.
It was my first time seeing the movie, so it was really surprising for me. I didn't expect all the sounds and visuals and editing, so it was a surprise to me too. And then seeing it with an audience that was like so involved and excited, that was pretty good too.
So when you're watching it with an audience, are you sort of keeping track of what they're doing? Like, yes, they responded how I wanted them to, or, oh, I didn't expect that from that scene.
Yeah, I mean, the first screening with an audience is very special because, you know, I've watched the movie like 200 times, you know, in post-production, and you look at the very details, and it's the first time with the crowd you really know you know, how the movie is received, and you can feel the audience, especially in Toronto and Midnight Madness, you know, the audience really reacts and is not shy to show, to laugh, to, you know, to comment. And it's very great because you can feel that the movie is for the first time very alive. And of course, it's always surprising to have the audience like really reacting at some scenes. You would know that. You hoped they were reacting, but you couldn't expect sometimes that much. And this is really great to feel, really.
So the film's got lots of surprises in it. And I imagine it must be quite electric when, you know, some of the more surprising things happen, because you really go big on some of the action.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, it's true that it was funny that Matilda hadn't seen the movie before and really discovered it with everything, with the sounds and the visual. Because I think when we shot it, nobody could really picture, you know, all the stuff that were going to be done in editing, in sound, in music, which were a very important part of the final result of the movie. So I'm happy she got to discover
even
it.
Even many of the scenes that were funny, when I saw it, I didn't expect them to be funny. Mm. Like the foot scene, for example, obviously I wasn't there when they shot it, so I couldn't imagine that scene. And then the whole like commercial TV when the hallway scene happens, that was pretty funny and it wasn't there. So yeah, many moments that were very funny and I didn't expect it to be.
What do you remember from the very beginning of the process when you first read this character?
I loved the fact that it was going to be challenging for me. I never played a role where I could play two sides of a character so different. So I was very fascinated by the character. And then the fact that we started the casting process with a first audition in LA and then self-tapes, and she was very specific about what she wanted to see, and she asked me to buy a blonde wig and do my nails and do a dance scene to a certain song. So I was just very intrigued and fascinated about working on a character like that with her.
Was there anything that you were particularly looking forward to from the script? Like, I cannot wait to shoot this scene or to see what comes out of this part.
So I think like every scene of the film is so unique, and each scene requires such a big like physical basically skill, and each one is so different that there's not one particular one that I was waiting for. I think the hallway scene, I like didn't imagine how it was going to be, so that was like surprising to me because we were in a very small hallway and it was like three crazy days, like covered in blood, and everyone was like running around. We couldn't understand what we were doing. We had very little time to shoot that scene, so the blood was very slippery and the gun was very heavy. I didn't do gun training before, so it was that was like a discovery on set.
Wow.
So the whole scene was pretty difficult to shoot.
I've never seen a finale to a film quite like this. I love the staging, that idea in the hallway. Was that something that you was on the page originally and you've sort of found a place to do something like that?
From the script, it was very detailed because it relies on a very few elements, like almost nothing, two people running after each other. So I had to find the rhythm and the tense of the scene before while I was writing. But when I write, I already picture the images and the rhythm and the music. So it was very precise already because everything is on the rhythm, the moment they wait, the moment they fear, you know, to bump into each other, and after the things going more and more crazy. And in fact, we built the corridor in the villa. It was the only thing that didn't exist for real in the villa. And we built it inside the kitchen. We just built a wall and, you know, paint everything in white to create this very narrow corridor, which was a very important part of the scene to make it work. So this, I knew I really needed to have it and to build it as I had pictured it on the page. And after, it was just about getting, you know, every elements very precisely so the scene could work at the end. And that's why it was quite difficult on set to get everything, because we didn't have a lot of time. Technical elements were very hard to, you know, to achieve because the corridor was very narrow. There was blood everywhere, so everybody was slippering, you know, and the crew couldn't be on set. So basically it was just the two actors, me and the DOP, shooting very small pieces of running in one side, running in another side, pieces with more blood, less blood, you know, like a puzzle, you know, and I knew which shot was going to go where in editing, but it's true that for the crew and even for the actors, as we were not shooting in order, it was sometimes very difficult to totally understand in which, you know, sense everything was going to go. So it was a matter of trust, like at some point it was kind of a ballet, you know, a dance, like go there, that direction. Everybody, you know, really went into it, and I would say abandoned himself to the kind of craziness of the situation, because the blood definitely brings something very special on screen and for the actors as well on set.
I was so tense watching it because of all of those things, because of the way it's filmed. It's so narrow and actually just genuinely worrying about people falling over.
Yeah.
Because it looked, I've never seen so much blood, I think, quite like that. I love also how, because a lot of the film is set in the wide openness of the desert and it's really beautiful, but you do come back to that very plain, normal domestic corridor for the finale, and it gets more and more claustrophobic as the film goes on. What do you remember about shooting in, because you shot it in Morocco, is that right?
Yeah, right.
How did you choose that as a location, and what was it like shooting in, I imagine, very cold and very hot, different times of day?
Exactly. The idea for the desert and the villa was I really wanted it to be located in a desert and in a place we wouldn't know exactly where it is. I wanted the desert to be a real character in itself, a little bit like in Mad Max Fury Road. The desert is real, but it's unreal at the same time. And all the colors are pushed to create a very phantasmagoric, you know, universe where the characters are gonna go deeper and deeper. So the main elements I needed was the villa to be very remote from everywhere and to have this touch that it's a very luxury place, but at the same time that there is nothing around and they're basically totally lost in this place where you can only come in helicopter, and in a way they're trapped. So we scouted in different countries, and finally I found all the elements I needed in Morocco: the villa, the desert, the water as well, which was not easy to find everywhere with the desert. And basically it was quite an intense and difficult shooting, especially for Matilda, who was just wearing a bikini all the time, and we were shooting in February, and it was very freezing cold even during the day, most of the day, because we were shooting in the mountain and there was a wind that was really, really kind of Siberian. <You know? laughs> So basically everybody was in winter clothes with big jackets, you know, hats, boots, and she was the only one who had to go and to look sweaty. And I think physically it was very intense, but I think it also helped, you know, for her character to be totally grounded to the elements. And I think there's some things you can't totally fake and that you have to, you know, leave them physically. And she did it brilliantly, basically.
I loved the scene in the cave just after a lot of stuff happens in the story, but it's when the character actually decides what she's going to do going forward. And you have that amazing scene where you have to heal a wound using the beer can. I'd love to know where that came from and what it was like playing a scene like that when you're on your own, you know, and it's all you.
This scene was very special, Matilda. I can tell you about it, because basically it was one of the hardest day and everybody was very tired, and especially her. So her body kind of collapsed.
Yeah, basically it was towards the end of the shoot and we were already exhausted. We were shooting in this real cave that was like basically underground. It was below zero.
Wow.
So everyone was covered up, but it was also like humid and there was no light. We were like all miserable in there. And then I remember like just being so cold that I basically lost every sense of like what I was doing and where I was. And like I couldn't really focus on what I had to do with the objects anymore. It was like the third day that we were shooting in the cave. And I remember like her just like speaking through the scene and telling me step by step what to do with the objects and what she was feeling and what she was doing and hearing. And we got through it. And I was at some points really exhausted. And I thought I couldn't finish the scene. But I knew that there was something special. You could feel it, that it was like so real and intense. And a lot of people ask me, like, how did you do the makeup with like this swallow eyes? And I'm like, it's real. It's no makeup.
Yeah, and I think it brings something very special, the fact that you're out of your body. Yeah. And you just let yourself go to the indications. Yeah. I was giving you through the scene, and we dubbed the whole sound in post-production because I was talking, you know, all the time and really guiding her. And it gives this kind of very kind of dreamy...
Yeah, like trance-like.
Yeah, trance, which adds, I think, something, to the...
And I really think when I saw the film on the screen, I thought that the scene was edited in a fantastic way. I love all the, like, special effects, you know, that you have. And it really gives you, like, a sort of crazy, like, drug dream trip. So I really liked it.
Yeah, and I think it's... in this scene that I really found for me the soul and the spirit of the movie, like adding those very special elements of Phantasmagoria, of her becoming kind of a superheroine and, you know, not just being in their regular horror film where she's going to suffer all the time and scream all the time, but she finds a way to heal herself and to really start a new character. And I love the idea of mixing very powerful symbols, very epic symbols with the phoenix all together with very basic, you know, object like beer. And I think it's this mix that gives a special touch to the film and adds something very unique.
Absolutely. It's the character at her lowest point, and you go through such a trip with her. And the edit, I agree, the dream sequences were really great. And that was where I was like, oh, this is what the film is. I get it. And then I was just rooting for the hero, you know, all the way through the movie. I just wanted to ask quickly about the sort of props and the prosthetics. I love that there's a lot of like actual real life props being made. Is that quite fun as an actor to work with? And also fun for you to sort of design, like the body in the lake particularly, it's like made me jump out of my seat.
We worked on all the wounds. I mean, Coralie was in the special effects studio for a long, long time before me, but we went to Paris in the studio and we were, you know, trying all the prosthetics on, and it was pretty cool. I remember the first morning that we actually started shooting that type of scenes. And I think it took like 4.5 hours, 5 hours. Then we were like getting faster and faster as we went into the shoot. But the first day was like 4.5 hours in makeup. I had so many wounds on my body that I couldn't really like sit down. So I was standing for 4.5 hours like this and getting, you know, body makeup on. And it was like the most fun, I think, of the film.
Thank you so much for talking to us. I think you should wrap up there. But you're doing the Q&A in our cinema tomorrow night at Picture House Central. Nice. So enjoy. You have a wonderful audience.
Thank you so much.
We can't wait to play the film.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.